Yeah, eat, sleep, fantasy, you rocking with the best. NFL fantasy football podcast. We talking mock drafts, running backs, better follow the conversation with Dale, Christian, and Armando. Screaming Eat Nation, we doing what we like. Tune in every week, guaranteed we get it hype. Fantasy football enthusiasts, I know you plan to be joining us on Eat Sleep Fantasy. Yeah, Eat Sleep Fantasy. Eat Sleep Fantasy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Eat Sleep Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts today. My name is Dale DeMont. Thanks for joining us. I have a very special guest with me today. I have John Chapman here of a million different podcasts. He's basically a podcast whore, just jumping around from pod to pod. But we're lucky enough to have him write and do a bunch of stuff and contribute to our website and podcasts. John Chapman, what's going on, brother?
You know, I've been called a whore several times in my life, mm-hmm. but I feel like if you just put a word in front of that description, it's somewhat validated.
Right, sure.
So
sure.
Podcast yeah, whore, mean, definitely 100% better than just a whore. So yeah, I'll take this. Yeah. I am on a lot of podcasts, but glad to be here today, man.
Yeah, I mean, if I just call you a whore, people are like, whatever, he's joking around. But now if I get specific about it, then people, okay, now I understand. I mean, one of the other reasons I'm calling you a whore is because you made a, we haven't talked about this on the pod actually, but you made a very special list. You want to tell us about the list a little bit?
Well, it was very interesting. So basically, in one of my drunken stupors late at night, I get a very cryptic message from none other than Christian Brito, who says, "Hey, John, will you send me a picture?" And that's all it says. To which I'm like, and before I even finish, like, what's up, like, what's going on, he says, "Never mind, got it." so yeah. I'm just like, all right, what the hell's going on here? Then later on, a week later, I get a screenshot of a sexiest writers in fantasy. I might not be titling that correctly, but
yeah, I think the sexiest people in fantasy football, I think
that is correct. And
right,
you know, you scroll through and there's several different famous analysts and myself, all of which have very professional photos, but I had the very poor hindsight of trying to befriend one Christian Brito on Facebook, which gave him access to not only all of my pictures but even all of my wife, who has an open profiles pictures, some of which are, you know, hanging out in the pool, and he found a wonderful one.
Yeah, actually, it was a good one, and I think it's what got you the number one ranking of the sexiest person in fantasy football. A lot of people weren't happy with it. I'll just break down our side, the Eat Sleep Fantasy side. If you guys don't know, you can go to eatsleepfantasy.com and see this article, 13 sexiest. I don't even know what it's called. I guess I should probably know before I start advertising it. But anyways, go to our website, find that article, 13 Sexiest People. And yeah, John Chapman is number one. And then we have people like Brad Evans, Matthew Berry. Of course, we had to throw Berry in there just because, you know, we're talking about fantasy football. And what would a list be without Matthew Berry? You know, and we have some others. But the crazy thing is, Christian, I'm giving all the credit to him. He was super gung-ho about writing this article. Thought it was the greatest idea. I thought it was okay.
A little too much. Yeah. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. So so we published it, and the next day, our Twitter blew up. All these analysts were kind of – some got offended because they missed a list. And we're talking about like big – I mean, we're not a big podcast. We're just a small independent thing.
You're a big podcast. You are up for Podcast of the Year. You are up. You've been reviewed by everybody. This is a big podcast, man.
Okay. So anyways, yeah, so guys, you know, the big guys that really have no business talking to us started chiming in on, you know, thanking us for being a part of this list, blah, blah, blah. And before we know it, the Red Zone channel is on live on Sunday talking about our list and breaking it down and telling us, you know, this person should be on it, this person shouldn't. They do love John Chapman. I don't think there was any discrepancy there.
I will tell you this. The highlight, perhaps, of my fantasy writing career was none other than Kay Adams saying, and I quote, "Yeah, with that picture," with a little inflection. I ain't going to lie.
I'm not sure what she meant by that. Was she like...
No, hold on. Don't try to break this down. It was all positive. Do not take this away from me. Do not. It doesn't matter. I'm happily married, and my wife is a knockout. However,
sure. Absolutely.
Just yeah. a little bit extra attention from Kay Adams. I need no interaction with her ever in the future, but mm-hmm. I felt like that was a positive spin in my direction.
I'm not sure if she was talking about the lighting
dude.
Okay, I'll leave it.
I will say this, though. you know, Sunday morning, kind of my the way that I watch games and break down film, I have two full-screen TVs and my computer broadcasting radio as well. So on one of my TVs that I have muted, I am typing notes for a 49ers podcast I do, and I look up, and I see my damn self without a shirt staring back at me on the Red Zone channel, and I do a sudden, what the fuck is going on here? Then my Twitter blows up. Then everybody starts texting me, and I'm just – at first I'm just like, God damn you, Christian Brito. But then, you know, you got to look at this. It's pretty funny. It's pretty
funny. Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, I was eating lunch with my wife on Sunday, and that came across my timeline. And she hates when I look at my phone, so she was already giving me the side eye. And by the way, on Sundays, I got to really be careful before game time because it's like kind of like family time before football starts. And so she was definitely giving me the side eye the entire time I was looking at my phone. I looked at her, I was like, I think we were just on TV. And she just like looked at me and shrugged me off. I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I think that's a big deal, but I'm not a. and then I got to be able to check it up and actually listen to the clip a little bit later. But it's fun times.
Yeah, good times. Good times. It is pretty damn funny. I'll say that.
It was. It was awesome. Anyways, so today, John, I wanted you on really to talk about. We're going to break down a couple of the games. We're going to try to get through all of them, at least the ones that are really fantasy relevant. Break down some notes for you. Maybe even break down a little bit of Monday Night Football if we can. This is recorded late on Monday night, so we'll do our best. But we'll definitely break down Sunday's action and let you know what's going on and some of the implications that that we've seen from the games. We all, you know, we watch the games. We try to analyze as best as we can on Sunday and Monday and give you good info. So if you guys, I didn't really do a proper introduction, but if you're listening to us for the first time, this is basically what you're expecting, what you should expect. We, you know, podcast
par
podcast.
For course, man.
Yeah. We're 8 minutes in. We strive for, you know, the 8 minute mark. So we're almost 8 minutes in.
Than I usually last. I'm just going to be honest.
By the way, and I didn't give John proper credit. Not only does he do this podcast for us, he does DFS and Dynasty podcasts from Eat Sleep Fantasy. And he does NFL Express.
Yep.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And then 49ers Rush podcast.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I don't know. I just want to give you a little.
I appreciate all those plugs. Yeah. It's.
I don't know. I'm guessing what the names are, but because I really don't pay. I'm bad at that. So, anyways. All right, John. Let's. I want to get to the very first game. The very first game that I want to talk about is my hometown, my this is my team. I'm a fantasy guy, and I think I'm more of a fantasy guy than a hometown team. I'll flat out admit it. I've been watching the Miami Dolphins since I was, I don't know, probably 5-6 years old with my parents. So I am a Dolphins fan at heart, but I just turned in much more into a fantasy guy. I left my heart in Miami. I don't really think about it anymore. But the Miami Dolphins are now 3-0, beating the Oakland Raiders 20-28. John Gruden has issues, man. The heat's going to be on him for a little while, especially after the rough start 0-3. Let's talk a little bit about the Raiders side of the ball, John. Derek Carr, nothing crazy, did throw for over 300 yards, only one touchdown, two interceptions. His receivers, Jordy Nelson. I guess out of every game, let's go ahead and talk about just a couple guys. Jordy Nelson, I want to talk a little bit about 173 yards with a touchdown. Had a long 66-yard play with 8 targets. He led the team with 8 targets. What do you see from Jordy Nelson? And what does the tape show you?
So the tape is very easy. Xavien Howard for the Dolphins is a beast, and any time that the Raiders play a top tier corner, you have to fade Cooper, and you have to just do whatever you can to get Jordy Nelson into your lineup. So we saw this in week 1, and we saw this in week 3. Anytime there's an elite corner, they're going to take Amari Cooper out of the game, and Jordy Nelson's going to be the guy because they use him in the slot and outside, so on and so forth. So the big thing here is Amari Cooper cannot be relied upon, which you should have known about that before this year. But, and I'll say this, I get John Gruden's a bad coach, but he can game plan and scheme up stuff in a just amazing way. He's really good at that. You know, Bill Parcells had the famous quote of saying, the first quarter's all about game plan, second and third quarters are about adjustments, coaching adjustments, and fourth quarter's just about what you're best at. And they have come out, Oakland has come out on fire all 3 weeks. They've been ahead going into the second half all 3 weeks, but they blow the lead big time just because you can kind of out-scheme them and figure out what they're doing. But Jordy Nelson, I love that guy, just not consistently. He's going to put up some really low weeks. You just have to be able to pay attention to which cornerbacks are going to be on Amari Cooper and who is not.
Right. All right, John, keep recording. Double-check your mic and make sure that the right mic is set. I'll cut this out.
What's up, buddy? Just faded out.
I said, double-check your mic and make sure that's the right mic.
Everything's looking good.
All right. It crackled a little bit. I just want to make sure it wasn't another one. Okay.
Do you want to make a comment?
No.
To stop.
No, you're good. You're good. No, you're good. You're good. I'll find it. All right. 3, 2, 1. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the Dolphins side of the ball then. Nothing too crazy here. Actually, hold on. I'm going to start over because I don't know what just happened to my thing. All right, 3. Hold on, sorry. All right, 3, 2, 1. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the Dolphins side of the ball. Ryan Tannehill, not too shabby. I think he's 10-1 in his last... No, is it 10-1 or 11-1? In his last few starts, he's doing very well. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, so he's keeping the mistakes at a minimum. Just under 300 yards passing for him. You know, the one thing that kind of concerns me here is the Dolphins' running game. Frank Gore nor Kenyon Drake did very much throughout the game. They combined 11 total carries for 15 yards. Ryan Tannehill outrushed Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake. What are your thoughts on that, John? I'm really curious.
I think this is probably one of the most stay away from fantasy teams outside of Ryan Tannehill. I don't want anything to do with really anybody on this team except for Tannehill and maybe Kenny Stills. That's it. Everything else is hit and miss. Maybe you want to do a buy low on Kenyon Drake, but again, man, 5 rush attempts in a game that was decided by a touchdown. I understand they got behind early, but that's not okay. He did get 4 targets in the passing game, but none of those were by design. I'm fading every single Dolphins person except for Ryan Tannehill because, again, they spread the ball around like crazy. Kenny Stills got 5 targets, and then after that, Drake got 4, Derby 1, Gesicki 3, Parker 3, Amendola 3, Grant 3, Wilson 2. They're just spreading the ball around. So
yep, exactly.
Stay away.
Well, you know, as a Dolphins fan in me, that kind of gets me excited that Ryan Tannehill is actually spreading the ball around and playing the quarterback position the way it should be played. I mean, getting Jakeem Grant involved and finally finding him a way to be involved in the game super fast. I think I heard on TV about a million times that he was small, and I get it. I don't know. I think, what is he, like 5'6", 170 pounds or something like that, 5'5", or whatever. Anyways, he's really fast, and they finally got him involved in the offense, which is awesome. 2 touchdowns for him. I don't think he's anybody that you're going to place a bet on.
No, absolutely
not. Is what I'm kind of trying to get across here.
Yeah, and I mean, again, in this game, I mean, if there was going to be a time to get him involved, it would have been here. But he had 3 targets. That's it. So he's not fantasy reliable. Maybe in DFS if you need a value play, but that's it.
Right. All right, let's move on to the next game, the Denver Broncos and the Baltimore Ravens. I had a lot of stock in this game because, if you guys don't know already, I have a ton of stock in Alex Collins, and it feels like all of a sudden I'm a Ravens fan. Does that happen to you? Like, in an offseason, you pile up on some player, and then all of a sudden you're like a Texans fan for a season?
Yeah, no, Christian McCaffrey's kind of my guy that I traded to you. Regretfully right. So. Good trade by you, man. Everybody gave you flack for it.
They did.
Well, very well.
I am not going to brag yet until at least a couple more games in. what was the trade? I think Kareem Hunt. Was it Kareem Hunt?
Kareem Hunt. And did you have a Browns player that you gave me? Carlos Hyde?
No, I don't think I would have traded Carlos Hyde. I was pretty high on him.
But yeah, anyway, it could have been. Christian McCaffrey for Hunt.
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe with a couple throwing players.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Alex Collins, he's still dominating the run game. 18 carries, 68 yards, and pretty much a blowout game. Had that touchdown, which saved his fantasy day. Let's talk about the battle here. A lot of people talking about Buck Allen. Buck Allen had the three receiving yards, 19 yards, and he also had a touchdown receiving and a touchdown on the ground. So we're not worried about Buck Allen cutting into Alex Collins' value, are we?
I think snap-wise, you should be a little concerned, but not touches-wise or film-wise. Alex Collins has looked like the much better player 2 weeks in a row, and it's not even close. I mean, Jarvis Allen had 6 carries for 7 yards, and he got a touchdown. That's awesome. That's great. But if you average 1.2 yards per carry, that's not going to go well. They had the exact same number of targets in the passing game. Both had 3 catches. Alex Collins is the guy to own here and probably one of my favorite buy lows. Everybody is thinking Buck Allen is the guy, and I don't mind him in deeper leagues, but it is Alex Collins. It's not even close. I don't understand.
I love the chatter talking about Allen, you know, reaching into his potential and all that stuff. And definitely a buy low. Alex Collins has been a buy low since week one and has performed decently. I mean, he's not knocking the socks off anybody, but he's performing. He's going to keep you in games. He might not win some fantasy matchups for you, but he'll keep you in them and, you know, get that touchdown and get the 13 or 14 points that you need or whatever,
right,
and move on. You know, he's not going to kill you. So, One thing to note is John Brown. I mean, we've done a couple weeks, and I really like John Brown. I don't know if I talked about him enough. I wasn't on the podcast last week, but John Brown is somebody to own. 9 targets, just one shy of the leader, 10 targets of Michael Crabtree. But these two are dominating the share here in Baltimore. When Baltimore wins, these guys are going to score. Both of them, like I said, John Brown 9, Michael Crabtree 10 targets. Are you liking John Brown as much as I am?
Yeah, I'm loving John Brown. The only reason why he was able to kind of fly under the radar is because the sickle cell that he has was such a problem last year. But when he's healthy, like now, it's amazing. You just need to watch. If he is limited in practice and they don't say why, get him the hell out of your lineups. But for now, he's healthy. So as long as he is healthy and you're not seeing any injury designation or left with a sickness, he's fine. But I'm telling you right now, if he misses a Wednesday practice, get him the hell out of your lineup. But until then, he's a must start. He's a flex play with upside. And, I mean, this was his worst game. He had 5 catches for 86 yards. So
exactly.
Yeah, love this play. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the Denver side. Case Keenum, not really impressive, under 200 yards, no touchdowns, interception. What I want to talk about with this offense is Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas debate. I have that going into every week. Looking at my rankings, a lot of times it's as close as a Diggs Thielen debate for me. Not on the same level, but you know, I'm ranking them fairly close to each other. This year, this game, Sanders out-targeted Thomas, but did not outperform Thomas. Well, except Emmanuel Sanders did have the one rushing touchdown. That was kind of fluky. Who are you taking, Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders, week to week, or is this matchup based?
I'm taking Emmanuel Sanders right now because he's not as boom bust. But this is, and I'll say this, the snap count does, it's a 3-man race. Cortland Sutton has the exact same number of snaps as Emmanuel Sanders does on the year. Most people don't understand this. And he had 2 big plays called back in week 2. This wasn't his best week, but this is a 3-man, it's those 3 guys. There's not really a lot else besides those 3 that are getting snaps out there. I love Cortland Sutton. I'm not starting him, but I'm buying low big time on him. And if I had to start somebody week to week, Emmanuel Sanders is probably going to be the guy just because of the target share. And the running game, like we saw this week, is going to be a little bit of a help. But this is a bad team passing-wise. Case Keenum's rated number QB 26 by Pro Football Focus on the year. He has not performed well. However, the rushing game, which who would have guessed, has been lights out. So
sure.
I love both the running backs here, but who do you start each week? You know, a lot of people jumped in on the Philip Lindsay bandwagon. He gets thrown out for throwing a punch on a stupid play, And Royce Freeman comes out and played great. 13 carries, 53 yards, and a touchdown. Like, that is great for a flex play in the running back position. You're just going to kind of have to hold and wait. Don't sell off Royce Freeman. Don't sell off Philip Lindsay, because they have come out, their coaching staff, and said, whoever's the hot hand, we're riding with this guy. So, you know, just got to kind of wait and see here.
Okay. All right. John, before we move on, I do want to give our man Christian, he has a message for our listeners. Here you go. All right. The next game I want to talk about are the Saints and Falcons. This is a crazy game. Went to overtime. The Saints won it 43-37. As you expected, the quarterbacks did amazing. Drew Brees, nearly 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. Matt Ryan, 374 for 5 touchdowns. Neither quarterback had an interception. Pretty amazing. The big story out of here, you know, with Mark Ingram coming back soon, I really want to talk about the Saints backfield. Alvin Kamara did have 16 carries for 66 yards. Failed to get in the end zone rushing, but that doesn't really matter when you get 20 targets as a running back with 20 targets, 15 receptions, and 124 yards. Let's talk a little bit about their involvement with Alvin Kamara. Obviously, his rushing attempts are going to go down. I don't know if his targets are going to even move. I mean, 20 is ridiculous. I don't expect 20 every week. But what are your thoughts on this Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara backfield? How is it going to shake out moving through the season?
Yeah, it's going to change. This is the all-time high of Kamara ever, maybe in his career. Even if Mark Ingram goes on next year, I don't see this. And he got 52 out of 64 possible snaps in that game. Mark Ingram is going to get more than 12 snaps a game. You can almost guarantee that. So you need to cut his rushing numbers maybe by 75% and his passing targets by 25%. If you are a savvy trader in redraft leagues, I am selling Kamara. I'm selling Kamara for something like David Johnson and Golden Tate, or in deep leagues, something like that. Going after somebody like Michael Thomas, whose numbers will not change. So the numbers are going to change there, but he's still going to be an RB1 just because of the passing game value and just his playmaking. He's unreal. But he's not going to stay at this level.
Right. Now, you know, when you're talking about buying players, of course you don't want to buy Alvin Kamara now because you're probably buying him at his highest value possible. But you might be able to find an overreactor, somebody who's really worried about Mark Ingram coming back, and you might be able to get Alvin Kamara maybe 80 cents to the dollar, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to in almost all my leagues. And the thing is this, opportunity cost is a big deal. So the people that drafted Mark Ingram have been sitting on him and waiting with the mindset of, man, if I can just make it to week 5, boom. And yep. So it's hard to pry him loose. But if you can try, definitely try.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Michael Thomas is probably going to end up as wide receiver 1 for the year, right? I mean, and I know it's only week 3, let's not overreact here. But man, 10 targets, 10 receptions, 129 yards. And he's just doing it week in and week out, so fucking reliable, right? I mean,
it makes no sense what this guy is doing. He has a 98% catch rate on the year.
That's crazy.
It doesn't even make sense, to be honest with you.
Now, so I mean, put that in perspective for us. I mean, what is a good receiver right now? Not Michael Thomas. Who is what's a good catch rate for a good wide receiver?
So, like, DeAndre Hopkins has some of the best hands in the league. Sure. However, the problem is the passes are not on target. So he has a 64.5% catch rate.
Right.
And fewer targets, by the way. So if we look at Michael Thomas, he is the league leader in targets with 40, receptions with 38, receiving percentage 95%, yards 398, and touchdowns. The guy, to say that he's a wide receiver 1, he is the wide receiver 1, and it is not close. And the thing about his game is he hasn't had 1 out of 3 games with less than 10 catches. This was his worst game statistically.
You just got really nerdy with that. Like, yeah. you went from me, like, really wanting to know about this stuff to me.
Oh, I keep going, man. Yeah, shoe size, what you want, man. I got it all. I love this guy. I love what he's brought to the table. Wide receiver 1 across all formats for the rest of the year. It's not even close.
look, I'm not saying, I'm just saying Cam Meredith is somebody in a deep league. When you have those 20 plus roster spots, Cam Meredith is somebody that you want to own. Just wait for him to develop.
I'm telling you. I think it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, sure. But he had one target. He had one target this game. That's it.
But he's one for one, John. That's
true. He's batting 1,000. It's 50-50. You either are or you aren't. He is.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I like Cam Meredith, and I think he's definitely he should be owned. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay. He's going to be developed into a nice receiver for this offense. Is there anything really crazy to talk about here with the Falcons?
Yes. I'll say this. You know, I am not a Matt Ryan lover. Sure. We have not made love. I'm a podcast whore now. I'm trying to focus on that, not the other one. But this defense is garbage. They have lost three of their best players. And the reason why I'm bringing up their defense is this. My favorite thing in fantasy football is this. You give me an offense with a shitty defense. And they have lost three Pro Bowlers for the season on defense at the most crucial positions to stop the passing game. Every game for the rest of the year for the Atlanta Falcons is going to be an all-out air show. They will be the highest over-under for Vegas week in and week out. Therefore, by Matt Ryan. I've never said that before in my entire time ever covering fantasy, but he is a buy because he's going to have to air the ball out week in and week out because every game they're going to have to score 37 points to be in the game and probably lose.
Right. Okay. Calvin Ridley, buy high, sell high.
He's
146 yards, three touchdowns.
Yeah. Calvin Ridley. It's unreal. And so very similar. This is one of the things I pay attention to is cornerbacks against number one wide receivers. Marshawn Lattimore is unreal, the cornerback for the Saints. And he was all over Julio. Julio still had a big game, 5 catches, 96 yards, but they looked the other way. He didn't lead his team in targets. So again, when the Falcons are playing a top-tier corner that travels or it, you know, is always going to be on Julio, then I love him. But you have to be pretty savvy with when you're going to use him. I don't think that he is going to be a week-in and week-out play. He is a flex option at best with upside. But if they are playing against somebody like Patrick Peterson, Richard Sherman, Tre'Davious White, something like that, then I put him in. Jalen Ramsey. Okay. Then that's going to be his week.
All right, and you pay attention to EC Fantasy or DFS and Dynasty for those little nuggets there. Let's move on to a game that I thought would be a little bit better, the Green Bay and Washington game. Man, I really, really like Adrian Peterson. I've fallen in love with him once, and I think I'm falling in love with him again. I don't know what it's like to, you know, I guess some people, like, you know, they'll get divorced and then later in life they'll like re-fall in love with each other and get married again. I kind of feel like that's what I'm doing with Adrian Peterson. I don't know what that feels like, but
he's a wonderful person. You know what I mean? Like, he's just such a good guy.
Adrian Peterson, 19 carries, 120 yards, over 6 yards per carry for Adrian Peterson with 2 touchdowns. He had a 41-yard run, which is amazing. He's not done. His speed, his power is still there. Really good value for those who drafted him a little bit later in leagues. Got a really good value out of him. What are your thoughts on Adrian Peterson moving forward? I mean, is it too bold to say he's an RB2?
No, I think end of year numbers will be, but if you look at kind of what he did last week, it kind of lets you know, man, he's not really somebody that you're going to be able to depend on. You know, like week 2, 11 rushing attempts for 20 yards. Week 3, 19 rushing attempts for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he's very game summary dependent.
And he loves playing Green Bay.
He does, man. He holds grudges against his own children and against teams that he plays. Sorry, am I allowed to? He's a Ray Lewis Award winner. Ray Lewis Award winner. Adrian Peterson. He's a bad parent. Anyway, but no. So he's great. You just have to understand Washington and Jay Gruden. It's Jay, right? Not John. I always get them confused.
Jay.
It's Jay. He is a game script guy. So if they are behind, Chris Thomas is going to light it up. If it's even or they're ahead, Adrian Peterson's going to kill it. So it's a very yin-yang whatever. If you look at the game where last week where they were against Indianapolis and they were trailing, Chris Thompson outsnapped them 50-25. If you look at the game that they're in contention or out ahead, then Adrian Peterson gets more snaps by about 15. So it's going to go back and forth. But again, I do think end of season he will be at RB2, but he is going to piss you off a lot of weeks. You're going to have 4 or 5 dud games, but the other games are going to be worth it. So stay with it. Just temper your expectations. He's not going to do this every week.
Yep. And I do want to mention this just because I'm selfish. Paul Richardson, I held on to him, and I drafted him, I think, higher than a lot of people did and had so much hope for him, and I just gave up on him. Didn't even start him in my really, really deep league, and, of course, this is a game that he gets the long 46-yard bomb for a touchdown. Kind of annoying, but that's
it's
fantasy
the way
point.
It goes, right. Man, unfortunately.
All right, Aaron Rodgers. He's not Aaron Rodgers right now, is he?
No.
It doesn't seem like it. 27 for 44, 265 yards. Did have 2 touchdowns and no interceptions. But, man, it doesn't seem like he's there. Luckily, Davante Adams got into the end zone, where I know you're a big Davante Adams owner, too. But besides this, I mean, I guess the play here, there's 2 guys I want to talk about, Aaron Jones and Jarnoa Allison. How productive are they going to be moving forward? Aaron Jones, 6 carries, 42 yards, nice 7 yards per carry. I like that. But it's still a muddied backfield with Jamal Williams, even Ty Montgomery getting mixed in there. What are your thoughts?
The backfield sucks, man. I don't feel comfortable starting any of these players whatsoever until one goes down. It's a third, a third, a third. It's very, very gross. So I'm staying away from this backfield completely. Now, I'm not cutting them. I'm trying to trade them to somebody else that has one or the other ones, just hoping they're trying to secure that the shares of that backfield. But Aaron Rodgers is hurt. You know, he's the 14 overall fantasy quarterback right now. It's not like he's lighting it on fire. He's not costing you games, but this is a guy that you would have had to draft 3 rounds before everybody else, and he is not a QB1. Ryan Tannehill, Joe Flacco, Jared Goff, Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, all of these guys are ranked ahead of him fantasy points wise. I hope you listened to us and told to wait. The top 2 quarterbacks that went in fantasy drafts, Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, are not even QB1s this year. So.
All right, John, let's talk about the Colts and Eagles game. But before we do that really quick, I do have a question for you. I know we don't prep a lot, and I didn't ask you this before the show, but I put a poll out on Twitter, and I want to know, have you ever tried putting peanuts in Coca-Cola?
I feel like this is a trick question. Do I like nuts on my cola or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, right.
But
right.
No, I think you're being serious right now, so I'm going to say
no. I am. No. Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy. I've been seeing a lot of pictures and stuff of like people on Facebook, and I don't know why. I don't know if something came up recently, but I notice a lot of people are like trying, and it's an old thing. I think it's a Southern thing, to be honest with you, that people put like salted peanuts in Coca-Cola, just like sprinkle them on top, basically, and drink it that way, and I guess eat the peanuts as you're drinking the Coca-Cola. I'm going to try it, but I put it on Twitter, and so far we have 238 votes. 88% of people said they haven't tried it, but still 12% say they have. A lot of people in the comments are saying, like, yeah, it's awesome. It's really good. Some people say they put peanuts in beer. Have you ever tried that?
No, again, this is creeping me out a little bit. But I have not.
Brady Jones says it's awesome. Bottled Coke and salted peanuts.
I'll try anything twice. So the next time drink a beverage. Now, hold on. Like, what beer do they put that in? Like, if you put that in, like, Miller Lite or something, I get it because it's not a lot of flavor.
It's weird. I don't know what...
The salted Coronas, in my bartending days, you would salt the rim, you rub the lime on the side of the glass, sprinkle a little salt on there. That's pretty delicious. Maybe I need to try it. I don't know.
I think I'm going to try it. It's just weird, that it happens... that people do it, and I never tried it, and I've drank my fair share of Coke over the past few years. So, All right, John, I know this this seemed a little choppy here because it is during the entire episode. I hope that you guys can't notice listening in, but we've had some equipment, technical glitches, malfunctions, however you want
to
say it.
And this brings us to our John, sponsor. If you are struggling in bed at night...
we're going to chop this up into two episodes, actually. We weren't planning on it, so this is a little surprise for you guys. I'm going to do a recap. We just did a recap of a few games. The next episode will be coming out tomorrow, which will be the rest of the games, and maybe we'll even have a bonus episode for you guys. I hate to do it to you because I know you're waiting for all the, you know, fantasy implications. I hope we're hitting all the right notes for you, but I want to make sure we get this right and make sure it sounds good enough for you guys to go. So we are going to go ahead and cut this episode just a couple minutes short for you, but I'm telling you, in the long run, it's going to help everybody, and we're going to get some fantasy goodness to you. So let's go ahead and we'll kind of bail out of the show now, John, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. My name is Dale. You can always follow us at EatSleepFF on Twitter. Go to our Facebook group. Go to our website, EatSleepFantasy.com. Follow John at JL_Chapman. Thanks again, guys, and I promise we will get all the rest of the game previews and all the fantasy implications from all the games in week 3 to you in next episode. Thanks again.
Yeah. Eat, sleep, fantasy. You rocking with the best. NFL fantasy football podcast. We talking mock drafts, running backs. Better follow the conversation with Dale, Christian, and Armando. Screaming Eat Nation. We doing what we like. Tune in every week. Guarantee we get it hype. Fantasy football enthusiasts. I know you plan to be joining us on Eat, Sleep, Fantasy. Yeah. Eat, Sleep, Fantasy. Woo. Eat, Sleep, Fantasy.